This morning, we're going to continue to look at the role markets and prices play. What we've said so far, if you remember, is that markets are arrangements through which prices influence how we allocate resources, scarce resources. To show how important this role is, ask yourselves this question. How would resources be allocated if markets did not exist, if there were no markets? Well, let's have a quick look at three kinds of economy to help us answer the question. Let's look first at what we call the command economy. The command economy. Now, this kind of economy is a society where the government takes all the decisions. The government decides production and consumption. In practice, that means that a government office, a planning office, decides our three original questions. It decides what will be produced, how it will be produced, and also for whom it will be produced. The same planning office then tells households, firms or companies, and workers what it has decided. Planning of this kind is obviously very difficult, very complicated to do. And the result is that there is no society which is completely a command economy. But in many countries, such as the Soviet Union, there is a large amount of central planning and direction. The state owns factories, for example, and it also owns land. The state makes the most important decisions about what people should consume. It also decides how goods should be produced and how much people should work. Let's turn now to our second kind of economy. This is what we call a free market. Markets in which governments do not intervene are called free markets. Now, in a free market, individual people, such as yourselves, are free to pursue their own interests. They can become millionaires, for example. The basic idea behind the free market is this. If you, for example, want to become a millionaire, what do? Well, let's say you invent a new kind of car. You want to make money out of it in your own interests. But when you have that car produced, you are in fact moving the production possibility frontier outwards. You actually make society better off by creating new jobs and opportunities, even though you become a millionaire in the process. And you do it without any government help or intervention. Hong Kong is an example of a free market. The third kind of economy we'll look at is what we call the mixed economy.
Under 35, currently holds a post of responsibility at middle management level, fluent in Spanish and English.
Yes, but not as fluent as Vila.
She speaks English as well as he does, if not better.
But unlike Vila, she doesn't have a postgraduate qualification.
Look at their current salaries. He is making half what she is. I suppose we'd have to pay her twice as much as him.
Considering the field she's in, 90K isn't all that great. She was getting 45K in Britain 5 years ago. It's taken her 5 years to double her earnings. What really bothers me, though, is that her experience has been totally in the area of finance and banking.
Yes, the lack of industrial experience is rather a drawback. How about drive, ambition, motivation? How do you rate Rubiani on that, compared with Vila, I mean?
Well, in spite of what I said to Vila, I really feel he has the edge when it comes to motivation. That appears to me to be the essential difference between them. He's much more ambitious than she is.
Yes. I think that when we weigh them both up, we have to give it to Vila. His experience is more varied than Rubiani's. And as you say, he's more highly motivated. And I get the impression that he's better at working with people.
What makes you say that?
That boat trip. Can you imagine it? Living for months in a tiny boat with five other people? I'd go crazy. But when he talked about it, you could see that it was more important to him than anything else he'd ever done.